Amen. Prayerfully, you can sing that with an honest heart. Follow the Lord wherever He would lead. All right. Have you ever been trying to get something done that you know needed to be done yesterday? And you're trying to work on it diligently and very hard, but you keep getting distracted from what you're trying to get done? Has that ever happened to you? You know, I'm the only one. I think moms know about that quite a bit, you know. There's all kinds of things, and usually it's a small, that bring distraction, but it's usually a small child that doesn't want you to concentrate on anything but them. And so moms, I think, know all about that. Or maybe it's the phone keeps ringing, you know, and you're trying to get this work done, but the phone keeps ringing and distracting you. Or maybe you're trying to study, and people just keep coming into your office, you know, all the time, and you can't get anything done. Maybe something annoying like that, right? Kidding, you're always welcome in my office. Anyway, the point is, it's hard to get things done when you're distracted, right? You all know this to be true from practical experience. But then on the other hand, have you ever been amazed at what you can produce and what you can get accomplished when there are no distractions? And you're just in the zone, as they say. Has that ever happened to you? Life is so busy. But it does. At times, man, you're focused. You're laser focused. There's no distractions. You're in the zone. You're getting things done. You can make a whole lot of progress. Just the other night, we had to, fairly late at night, had to go to the store, me and my wife. And we had to, you know, get food for 12 people, you know, for the next couple of days and so on. And usually, you know, a trip to the store isn't in and out. Usually it's like, oh, that looks good, and oh, I need that, and oh, what about this, right? Well, I was going with my wife, and I'm like, we're making a list, and we are sticking to the list. And it's like, we've got a job to do, we got to get in, we got to get out. I mean, we were in the zone, and it happened. I was amazed. We had, you know, a giant shopping cart full, and it was like I was organized. It was like we started on this end of the store, and I was looking on my list, and we just worked our way down the list through the whole store, so we weren't going back and forth. You know, have you ever done that, crisscrossing the store like 7 or 8 times? And we got a lot done, and we were out of there in a short amount of time, and I was very happy. Usually I start to get very cranky at the store when there's all the distractions. So my wife says, you just stay home. Being in the zone is kind of what I'm talking about, but it, you know, that applies on all kinds of levels. You know, any athlete, a professional athlete, will tell you that they're at their best when they're in the zone. You know, if you think about a Major League Baseball pitcher, he's up there on the mound and he's got good command of all of his pitches, and the crowd is screaming and yelling, and there's all these distractions out there. But everything is tuned out, and the only thing that he sees is that sweet spot in the back of the catcher's mitt. And it doesn't matter where the catcher sets up, you know, whether it's high and inside, low and away, whatever, he's going to hit it every time because he's in zone. There's a word for something like that that every athlete says that he has to have if he's going to perform well. You know, and the reporter says, what made you perform so well tonight? And the athlete's going to say, you know what, I was focused. I had one thing. I was focused. You know, or how about basketball? Have you ever watched, for example, March Madness? Those guys, you know, I love March Madness. But the games go on, and they're rough, they're intense games, the crowd's hollering, yelling, there's a foul. And so it's a shooting foul. So the guy steps up to the line, and he's all alone, all by himself. And what is in the background behind that backboard? Man, there are fans that are screaming and yelling. They got these big noodles, you know, that they're waving like this, and these big giant foam fingers, and there's cameramen all under the basket. There's all kinds of things that could distract him from what he needs to do in that moment, and that is to sink that basket. But he doesn't hear any of that stuff. He tunes it all out. And he's got one goal. That's what I want to talk to you tonight about, is this idea of focus. And the title of the message tonight is A Point of Concentration. A Point of Concentration. And this is the direction that we're going to go tonight, but only related to the Christian life. The word focus is a word that the definition of the word is a central point or a point of concentration. That's the definition of the word focus, a central point, a point of concentration. You know, when you focus in on something, you can focus on something that's really far away, you know, or you can focus in on something that's really close. But what's interesting about having a focus is you're zeroed in on a particular thing, but that doesn't mean that you're not aware or that you can't see other things, right? If you focus in on a spot on the back of the room, you know, I'm focusing in on just that screw that's in the door, that bolt that's in the door, but I can see all kinds of other stuff in my peripheral vision. But those aren't the main things. The main thing is that. But I'm still aware, and I can still see Sarah over there, you know, and I can still see other things, but it's not the main attraction. It's not the main focal point. You can see things in your peripheral vision, but those aren't the things that your mind is concentrating on. Those aren't the main concern. It's not the central point. But in the Christian life, there ought to be focus. There ought to be a focus in the Christian life. And I want to examine this idea of focus in the Christian life from two specific areas tonight. The first one is individual focus. In the Christian life, there needs to be some individual focus. And let me ask you the question here tonight, church member. Where is your focus, Christian? What are you zeroed in on? What are you concentrating on? What is the central point of concentration for your life, Christian? Is it the Lord? Do you zero in? Do you focus in on your relationship with the Lord? Focused in on growing in Him? Focused in on walking with Him? Learning to love Him more? Maturing in the faith? Is that what you're zeroed in on and focused on in your Christian life? Or is it something like daily living? You know, husband, father, it's real easy to focus in on the job, on the finances. You know, I got to pay the bills and I got to set up a retirement account and I've got to, you know, my goal is to be able to save up enough money to get this toy. And these are the kinds of things that become the main attraction or the concentration point. Maybe it's entertainment, single adult. Maybe life is focused in on recreation or fitness or sports. What is it that you think about the most? That is a good indicator of what your focus is. Now, you know what? I'm all for recreation. I'm all for fitness and those kinds of things. But you know what? It can be like a cult. It can get so out of whack, and it can take a higher priority than it ought to. You know, I know people that all they do is read about CrossFit. All they do is talk about CrossFit. You know, they're on their phone, and they're looking up articles on CrossFit. Or sports. It's the same way. I used to be this way as a younger man. Sports dominated my life. And I knew every stat from, you know, from every ball player on my favorite team. And I could name you the, you know, the rosters, and I could name you the positions they played. I could name you the number that was on their jersey, and I could tell you all the stats because, you know, and every football season I could tell you, you know, every team's record, and I could tell you the, you know, the problem points on their team and why they're winning and why they're not. I could tell you all those things. Because it was the focus. And what I'm saying is it's easy to get the focus on the wrong thing. It's easy to become so enamored with something that is temporary, something that's going to fade away. And, fitness is another example of that. You know, somebody works so hard to get their body in shape and to build up these muscles and to be chiseled and all of this. And what's going to happen? It's all temporary, and it's going to fade away. And at the end of the life, what are you going to have to show? I could bench press 335 pounds. Whew. All those wrinkles are going to make somebody say, you're lying. You understand what I mean? People spend their whole lives dedicated to these things that are temporal. They're going to fade away. But, I'm picking on one particular aspect, but you could do that with anything. You know, Pinterest. Got all the ideas of how I'm going to decorate 77,000 houses. Right? What I'm saying is, if life is invested with those things, in the end, what do we have to glory in? A wasted life. And that's nothing to glory in. What is it, let me ask you the question, we're talking about individual focus, what is it that you think about the most? What is it that you give the most attention to? Listen, if it's anything but our relationship to God and finding out what more I can do for the Lord, or how much closer can I draw to the Lord and pursue after Him, if it's anything but those, that kind of a thing in the personal life, then the focus is wrong. The challenge is for us to be honest with ourselves. And often, our focus is not what it ought to be. Could be for several reasons, but one of those reasons that why our focus maybe isn't what it ought to be at times is bondage. We allow ourselves to become enslaved again by our flesh and its passions. Look in Romans chapter 6 with me here. Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. The Bible says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. Listen, we have a choice. We have a choice to yield to the flesh and yield to its allurements and yield to its control. We choose what we're going to yield to. We allow ourselves to become enslaved by the flesh, which then draws the focus and the attention away from what it ought to be. Look in 2 Peter with me. 2 Peter chapter 2. 18. The Bible says, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. Our focus so often is not what it ought to be because of spiritual bondage, and we allow ourselves to be enslaved by the flesh. Listen, that's why it's easy to forget the things that we've learned and even to not even acknowledge what the Lord is accomplishing because we've not recognized what it is that's actually controlling us. In our words, we say, oh, I'm a servant of the Lord, and I'll follow the Lord wherever He leads, but something else is actually in control many times. Our focus, listen, here's the key. Our focus will automatically be turned to what is most important. Say it again. Our focus will automatically be turned to what is most important to us in our lives. So the challenge is examine your heart tonight. And be honest with yourself. Would you find that your attention is given to something? Well, that's going to be a tell of where our focus really is. Our individual focus ought to be on a relationship with God, our walk with God, our service to God, because of a heart of love toward the Lord. What is the central thing, the focal point of your life, Christian? That's the first area of focus. But the second is corporate focus, individual focus, but then corporate focus. Where are we as a church? What is our main objective and point of concentration as a church? Is our main objective and point of concentration as a church, you know, to make sure that the bills are paid and that we're always debt-free? Is it to make sure that we have nice buildings and facilities and be sure that it's always clean and updated? Is that the main focal point? Is our main focus, you know, to put on good Christmas programs and make sure that we're developing good musicians and things like that? Is that our main focus? Well, don't get me wrong, and don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that those things are not important. I'm not saying that any of those things aren't good. Those are good things. But should they be the point of concentration? Should they be the focal point? Should it be the main thing? I want you to remember that you know, when you're focusing on something, you can still see other things. Other things still have a purpose. You're still aware of other things. They're just not the main thing. You understand what I'm saying by this? As a church, we need to have a focal point. What's the main point of concentration? We're going in a direction. We're focusing on a particular thing, but we still see the other things. They're still important things. It's just not the main thing. What should our corporate focus be? Well, you know, we are starting our missions conference 1 week from tonight. And we're going to major on missions for those 4 days out of the missions conference. That's going to be our focus for the time. But what about a couple few weeks after that? Right about when things start to get back to routine and normal in life, normal, you understand what I'm saying? What about then? Life starts to happen again, and do we forget what we saw? Do we forget how the Lord spoke to our hearts? Do we forget the purpose in it all? Listen, if our focus is on something other than that, then that's exactly what's going to happen. Does that make sense? Our focus is automatically going to be turned to what is most important to us in our life. Missions and the work of the Lord should not be the focal point for 1 week out of a year. It ought to be our point of concentration. And if it is the point of concentration, then it's going to be the thing that we think about the most. It's going to be the thing that we pursue after the most, because our focus automatically is turned to that which is most important in our life. It's going to be the thing that we strive for. It's going to be the thing that we give the most attention to. Now, somebody might say, well, you know what? I think we are a missions-minded church. And I would say I agree. We are. But remember this. An individual's focus affects the corporate focus. Remember in our personal evangelism series and how we talked about how the main priority and the purpose of a church is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, but that that only happens through the individual members of that church? Remember that? This is exactly what we're talking about here. An individual's focus, whatever your focus is, the thing that you are giving priority to in your life affects the corporate focus. That's why we have done a series in the book of Acts and why we've done a personal evangelism series to help to train and laser in on our focal point as a church. Let me ask you this question. We're talking about corporate focus here, but what is your personal involvement in missions? church member. This is to be the focal point of the church. But what is your personal involvement in missions? Well, I give to missions on a pretty regular basis. Okay, praise the Lord, I'm glad that you do. But is that all? What about praying for the missionaries who are receiving those dollars that you're giving? What about reading those things called prayer letters back there on the missions board so that you know what to pray for? I'm telling you, folks, it's a whole lot more than just giving a few bucks, you know, every week or every 2 weeks or every month and saying that I'm involved in missions. You know, there have been many times when I'm here alone at the church and I'll come over here and I'll just start reading prayer letters of these missionaries, or I'll get them on, you know, through my email and I'll sit down, I'll read them right away just so I can know what's going on with these men that we're supporting and what God is doing through them, what their needs are, so that I can specifically pray that God would provide or that God would meet the need or God's power would be manifest, that these particular people, souls that they're asking for would be saved. Do you take the time to pray for these missionaries who are receiving those dollars? I wonder if we don't really know what kind of power there is in prayer and the kind of power that we possess in the name of Jesus Christ in the local New Testament. Look with me in Matthew chapter 16. Excuse me, Matthew chapter 16. Look at verse 19. Jesus said, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Verse 18 is Jesus saying, "And I also say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock," speaking of himself, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And he says, "I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." The context here is the church, the local New Testament church. And Jesus says there's power in the church. Whatsoever you bind on earth is going to be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is going to be loosed in heaven. Look at chapter 18. Chapter 18, verse 18. "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." What is the context? The context is local church. There's power. There's authority in the church when it comes to, it's not just about giving some money. There's a whole lot more to it than that. And, you know, maybe we should start a missionary of the week program. I guess maybe that's sort of the idea behind reading a prayer letter every single week, so that we have something to focus on and give a tremendous amount of time and prayer on that one missionary family, and bind ourselves together to pray for the needs of that missionary, for the work of God to increase in the place that He's called them to. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands here, but you ask yourself the question, how many on purpose actually read those prayer letters and pray for those missionaries? What would God do, and what could God do through this church if we were unified and focused and specific about interceding for these servants of God? I don't think it's enough to just generally pray for all the missionaries. Lord, bless all of our missionaries. What does that mean? Lord, bless all of our missionaries. We need to be specific. That's what God wants. What is our corporate focus And remember that your individual focus affects the corporate focus. The heart and the mind of the individual ought to be, Lord, do something in me. Lord, use me. Lord, do something in my own heart. I was telling the men at men's prayer meeting a week ago or something like that. I was reading about something that Charles Spurgeon said. And he was praying for revival. And he's praying that God's power would be manifest and that revival would start. And it occurred to him to do this thing. He drew a circle on the floor and he got down and he kneeled inside of that circle. And he said, God, start a revival inside of this circle. I'm the one that needs it. I'm the one that needs reviving. Work a revival in me, in my heart. Look in Acts chapter 1 with me. Acts chapter 1. Note the church here. The context is this church in Jerusalem. I'm going to read verse 14, but verse 15 says, in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. So we see how many members were a part of this church. But verse 14 says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. That word, one accord, means full agreement. These all, the whole church together, continued with one accord, full agreement with the same purpose. Look at chapter 4, verse 24. Verse 23 says, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. Of course, remember here that the council told Peter not to preach in the name of Jesus or anything like that. And so they were bold before them and they were forbidden to teach in the name of the Lord. And so then they were let go. And the Bible says that they went to their own company, to the saints of God, and they told them all that was happening. Verse 24 says, and when they heard that, who's they? It's the church. When they heard that, they lift up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Skip down to verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. What I'm saying and pointing out here is that they were all there for the same purpose and the same goal, and they were all unified together with the same mind in prayer, and the power of God was seen and manifest. We often talk about, when it comes to, you know, soul winning, when it comes to missions, when it comes to this focus that a church ought to have, we often talk about the word burden, having a burden for the lost, a burden for souls. The word burden means a load that is born, or that which is often repeated, a subject on which one dwells. That's the definition of the word burden. You know, there's a lot of things that come up in life that are a burden. You know, maybe something tragic happens, or maybe there's a financial crisis, or maybe there's some health issue that's a serious health issue. And when that occurs, what happens? All of our energies and all of our thoughts and everything is directed toward whatever that burden is, correct? You know, it becomes the main thing. That becomes the focus. Should it be any different in the work of the Lord? Having a burden also speaks of having a focus, a subject on which one dwells. And a good way to have the right focus as an individual and the right focus as a church is to develop a genuine burden for the lost, people who need the Lord. Let me ask you this question. Where is your burden? What is your burden? Spiritually speaking, do you have one? If we're honest, think sometimes we might find give most of our attention to and what we give most of our time to is so often in the wrong place. We need to ask the Lord to give us a burden and change our focus. Or we need to ask the Lord to increase that burden and make us even more focused, laser, so that we can see what God can accomplish. Lord, I want to love you. I want to serve you. Lord, I want to obey you. And I know sometimes my flesh pulls me the wrong way, and sometimes my vision too much and not enough time and attention to what. Lord, help me to be focused, to give the right priority and attention and time to you, and let these other things have their place but not take your place. Maybe to start a work in you already tonight, prepare you that you just completely miss or pass by. If we want, let's pray. Heavenly Father, pray that you would, first of all, forgive me for the times that temporal things begin to take. Father, I pray that your Spirit would always prompt and can, Father, get us back on the right things. And Father, may we invest this life, this precious life that you've given to us. Father, I pray that you'd cause us to grow more in love with you, to draw closer to you. The world would take less and less claim. Lord, I pray that the heart of each one of us would be, revive my heart. Father, if I need to be changed, then or Father, that you'd increase my burden, increase my vision, increase my focus, that I can serve. Lord, we do pray that you'd have your will and your will. Father, that we'd be of one accord. Use us for your honor and your glory.